This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our journey looking at a collection of ahadith about the rights of the people, of those who are very close to us, our kith and kin, and not to break our ties and relationship with them, and likewise the general people around us, take care of them and to show kindness towards them. Sometimes we find there are individuals that we forget about, the downtrodden, the weak, or the unknown individuals. And that's what they say in society, the unknown individuals are in general the women and the children, and in more specific, the widows and poor individuals. And thus today's hadith will focus upon caring for the weak individuals. As mentioned in the blessed tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, As-sa'i ala al-armalati wal-miskini kal-mujahid fi sabilillah. The one who exerts the effort in taking care of the widow, taking care of the poor individuals, is like one who is striving and struggling in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أو كالذي يصوم النهار ويقوم الليل. Or the one who fasts during the daytime and observes the night prayer. In a hadith narrated in As-Sahihain, the collection of Imam Bukhari and Muslim, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala please with both of them. Imam Nawawi in his collection of explaining Sahih Muslim mentions, what is the meaning of As-Sa'i? The one who is taking care. He mentioned al-kasib lahuma, al-amil limu'unatihima. The one who is working, physically working, physically being active in trying to take care of them, looking after a widow woman or the poor individuals. The one who is trying to find their welfare, their comfortability. So it doesn't just become mere words and credentials. The person has to physically strive, physically carry out, work for them, earn sustenance, give it to these individuals so they could have a better life. That's why the physical participation support is what the Quran speaks about time and time again, about looking after these type of individuals. كَلَّا بَلَّا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ. Nay, indeed, you don't show generosity towards the orphan individuals. وَلَا تَحَضُّونَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. You don't encourage the feeding of the poor individuals. وَتَأْكُلُونَ التُّرَاثَ أَكْلًا لَمَّا وَتَحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. Rather, you have a covetous greed of the eating of the mirath, the inheritance, when it's given to you. وَتَحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. And you have this excessive love of wealth, of collecting it. كَلَّا إِذَا دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكًّا دَكًّا. Quran is ajeeb. After speaking about these affairs, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to speak about the end of the world, destruction of the world, when this earth is turned into dust, is pounded over again. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. And your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, comes, and the angels, they come in rows, they come down. وَجِئَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ. On that day, Jahannam will be brought forth. And what will happen to the individual? We'll begin to make all types of complaints or justifications that woe be upon me. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in general, whenever speaking about the carrying out of generous actions, good deeds, always equate it with the hereafter? Because in essence, people who believe inside the hereafter are those who are going to carry out these, what we may classify, small acts of generosity. Surah Al-Ma'un. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen the one who rejects the last day? Rejects يوم الحساب, the day of accountability. Is it one who doesn't pray? who doesn't fast. That's partially true. But here the Quran homes in and highlights the one who rejects the last day, who doesn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the characteristics. فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا يَحُدُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. Then فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Once again, the link between spirituality of prayer and fasting. But prior to that, these are the ones who reject the last day. يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. Repels, pushes away the orphan child. Doesn't encourage the feeding of the poor individuals. As if to highlight the person who really believes in Allah on the last day is the one who exerts themselves. Just like you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you believe in a day of recompense, of infinite justice, of accountability. So likewise, a person lives a life of accountability. The people around me, they need to be accounted for. The poor and the destitute individuals. And thus you find that the side point of the Quran speaks many times about the rights of the yatim, the orphans. Approximately 16 different occasions inside the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights the plight and the need of the orphans. Even the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is classified as the head of orphans. But look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed that mercy upon him. Thus he was physically able to understand that what the orphan child is going through. And likewise for numerous ahadith mentioned by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who ana wa kafil yatim kahatayn, or kama qal sallallahu alayhi wasallam, myself and the one who takes care of a yatim child is like these two fingers. Close proximity. This is how close the person will be with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. These are characteristics that possibly some of us have forgotten. And as each one of us, as a side point, should sponsor an orphan child. Simply, in hidden affairs, just sponsor a child somewhere in the world. What does it cost? 15, 20, 30 pounds a month, maybe maximum. Sponsor an orphan child. So, for what intent? That on the day of judgment, this becomes a source of enrichment, a source of reward, a source of excessive abundance, goodness will be given to that individual who carries out such an action, and to fulfill the prophecy of the Prophet ﷺ, to be close to the Prophet ﷺ. Thus many ulama mentioned that the concept of taking care of these people is actually a blessing in disguise. Now some people, they think that this is something which is a burden on society, a burden on the Muslim ummah, a burden on the world. That's how, unfortunately, the mindset of some people has become, that this is something burdensome. That why is there poor people on the world? Why is there poverty on the world? As-sir inda Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wisdom lies, secrecy lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amongst the hikam, the wisdom that ulama have dissected, is for a person to share their wealth, to enumerate their blessings, to give to other people that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon the individual. And that's why find Mus'ab ibn Sa'id. He mentions, or Mus'ab ibn Sa'ad, he mentions, narrated that his father thought he was better than other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thought that maybe it should be some privilege, because being a person of grandeur, of luxury, of status inside society. But rather the Prophet alaihi wasallam mentioned, said to his father, on the contrary, quite the opposite. Allah supports this ummah because of its weak ones, because of their supplication, their prayers, and their sincerity. That's how support of this Muslim ummah comes. Person shouldn't think that a weak individual has no role in this Muslim ummah, or has no value. Other narrations speak about a person who is in a disheveled state, doesn't dress well, doesn't look too well. لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَبَرَّ. If the person takes an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will fulfill that oath. So sometimes we may just look at an individual and think this person has no value. But it's quite the opposite. In front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person may have immense value because of their sincerity inside their heart and their conviction. Inna Allah la yanduru ila ajsamikum wa la ila surikum. Allah doesn't look at your faces and your external bodies. Walakinna Allah yanduru ila qulubikum wa ila a'malikum. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at your hearts, the definition of your hearts, and looks at the actions of the belief inside your heart. And the previous hadith inside Kitab al-Jihad, in a Sunan Imam Nasa'i, The following hadith also once again mentions about Abu Darda, mentioned that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning, say, bring me the weak, for you only receive provision and divine support by virtue of the weak ones. Bring the weak individuals, because these are the individuals that we gain support, we gain victory, we gain help. That's, many of us have forgotten this, that we think that this Muslim Ummah, that all these individuals who may be suffering hardship, they have no value, nothing about them is special about these individuals. When a person supports and helps these individuals, once the Quran speaks about when a person helps people inside society, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّي مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا, they help the captives, the poor, the destitute, the ones in dire need. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا, we don't want no gratitude, we want no recompense from you. And even strange is that the context of this ayat is all speaking about Jannah. That's what the context later comes with. The context of this ayat is all speaking about the drink of Jannah, the brocades of Jannah, the servants in Jannah, the reward inside Jannah. Once again, the relationship is there, that people who carry out in this world these charitable actions are the most likely people, the most closest people who are going to be entered into Jannah by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that the reward, the person as-sa'i alal armalati wal miskin, the reward for this individual, kal mujahidi fi sabilillah, is like the one who's making jihad fi sabilillah. Jihad anwa'un, there's various forms of jihad that we find. There's various forms of shuhada, shaheed that we find. Various forms, various grades that we find. Obviously, we all know that the upper limit, the higher limit, وَيَقْتَلُونَ يُقْتَلُونَ, that's the supreme upper limit that you find. A person makes a total sacrifice. So total sacrifice of their life. And we shouldn't shy away from that fact. The Quran is full of ayat, of jihad at times, whereby a person needs to carry out that action. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا أَهَدُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ يَمْتَظِرُ مَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ, from amongst the believers, they are real men. Real men who made a conviction that they want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of them they return back, and some of them they go back, they return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never ever perceive that those individuals who've been slayed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are dead. But they are ahya, عند ربهم يرزقون, their provision is given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's you find, read khisal al-shuhada, read the sittatu khisal al-shuhada, read the virtues of a person who makes the upper limit of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to that individual. The blessings given to those individuals who strive and they struggle in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah gives to them. وحتّى قبل الموت في القبر, in the grave, what happens to الشهيد, لا يغسل, a shaheed is not washed, a shaheed is not wrapped inside the shroud that we're all wrapped in. الاستثناء للشهداء, only for the martyrs, they are buried the way that they leave this dunya, and they'll be resurrected in the day of judgment, that you find that blood will be flowing from their bodies. The blood will be a smell of fragrance of musk that we find. This is the ultimate reward. But if you study all these types of struggle that you find, all of them, حتى الكلمة الجهاد في معاني of ta'ab, of striving, of struggling, of working hard. Life, as they say, isn't as convenient as everybody around the world may perceive or to think. Person needs to make the daily grind, the daily toll. Their working career, their working life. People strive, they struggle. Is that not what most of the world does? Why do we become hesitant? Why do we become hesitant towards the Akhirah? That as if al-Jannah ba'ida anna, as if Jannah is far away from us, and the materialistic values is more closer to us, that we strive harder for that. But we weaken towards the concept of that which is wa'adullahi haqq. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. Inna Allah la yukhliful mi'ad. Allah never goes against His promise. Never goes against His promise. Allah's laid out, this is what you do, and this is what the reward will be given to you individually. So kal mujahid fi sabilillah, active action and participation that we find, whatever the condition may be, whatever the terrain may be, this person physically goes there, gives them food, gives them drink, builds a home for them, builds a shelter for them. That is giving the example, kal mujahid fi sabilillah, that a person is striving and struggling to make sure these individuals are given the best of their life. أو كالذي يصوم النهار ويقوم الليل, or as if the person is fasting all day or praying all night. Even though this is speaking about supererogatory, extra prayers, extra fasting that we find. And some of us, we've limited life. We've limited going into Jannah. We think that there's only one path, a path of spirituality, or a path of just prayer, a path of just fasting that we find. لِلْجَنَّةِ ثَمَانِيَةَ أَبْوَابِ. Jannah has 8 doors. Various doors to enter into Jannah. Various actions that you find a person needs to do. We need to gain the benefit of how to get into Jannah. Are all these ways that exist there on the face of this earth? Spirituality, no doubt, has a great immense benefit. But supererogatory spirituality that we find, its benefit is only possibly a personal benefit, a personal success. Extra prayers, extra fasting becomes a personal benefit for that individual. Not to derail any individual who wants to do extra actions, but just to home in, help us to understand that a person who goes out of their way to do certain things, then their impact becomes far more superior than that individual who just carries out a limited benefit for their own selves. And thus we find that the overemphasis shouldn't just be spirituality, extra spirituality. The overemphasis should be the global benefit, the global concern of the wider world around us that we live in. Because these are problems that we're facing all across the world at the moment. That the solution isn't that just by some miraculous nature that everything will come to a standstill and everything will be resolved. The solution will come whereby there's physical activity in making that effort in trying to change the status quo of the world, to change the common theme of the world, being active in the world that we face. And thus we find that, even it may sound strange for many of us, Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned that dawla al-kafira tabqa, a regime which is disbelieving regime will remain. Will remain for many years, could remain for many centuries. Kayf? How can a nation that doesn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remain for a long time? How does Allah let it to prosper? How does it leave it there? Why? إِذَا كَانَ أَسَاسُهَا الْعَدْلِ, justice, equity, fairness, kindness, goodness. Doesn't oppress any individual. But then he mentions the opposite. Any world status, any country, any nation, if it begins to oppress people, don't take care of the weak individuals, begin, you find that becomes the downfall. اقرأوا في التاريخ. Read through history. تاريخ Imam Tabari, Ibn Kathir, Ibn al-Athir, Imam Suyuti, تاريخ الخلفاء. Read through تاريخ. Read through the history, not just Muslim empires. Read through non-Muslim empires, how they collapsed, how they fell apart, how they dwindled away. Nothing left of them when they began to oppress the people around them, and especially the weak subjects around them that we find. And thus we find that caring for the weak individuals, the unknown people, the unknown ummah, it should be a concern. It should be concern for the Muslim. Because when the Quran speaks, it speaks about إِنَّ هَذِي أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. أولاً في سورة الأنبياء, the 21st chapter of the Quran, this is one ummah, and I'm your Lord, worship only me. ثُمَّ فِي سُورَةُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, in the 23rd chapter of the Quran, وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. I'm your Lord, fear only me, fear only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لماذا? Why did Allah place it inside Surah Al-Anbiya? After speaking about all the prophets and their mission and their task, about their belief. This is what this ummah is. And again inside Surah Al-Mu'minun, that we are believers. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Believers are brethren towards one another. Like what you find when Allah mentioned, coming towards the conclusion Surah Ali Imran, that we find, or in the middle of Ali Imran, that we find, What is about this ummah? وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةً. Let there arise amongst you a nation who order the good and who forbid the evil. Remember the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prior to that. وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَى حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ. You and وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold fast the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and the brink of the hellfire. And Allah brought your hearts together. Read the tafsir of this ayat inside tafsir Ibn Kathir, Imam al-Mufassirin. That there was harb, warfare that existed before the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina. Two tribes, Aus and Khazraj. كان بينهما حرب شديد. أكثر من 40-50 سنة. Fighting at one another, fighting at each other's throats that we find. When the Prophet ﷺ, he entered amongst them, he united and made them al-Ansar. This is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, to unite people, to create a concern for people, a global message for this Muslim Ummah. We find that the sermon which is delivered on the blessed day of Yawm al-Jum'ah, the sermon which is given on the two Eids that we find, is not supposed to be just a spiritual message, and that rightfully at times it needs to be an awakening. وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ. Remind them about the days of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But likewise, it becomes a global concern to listen about other parts of the world, other fractions of Muslim Ummah, other problems that we face, problems that we face on a social level in our society around us, and other concerns, the wider concept of the world. Because by default, we cannot walk away from it. I think this doesn't really concern me. When a person makes a testimony of entering into the faith, or a person is born into the faith, By default, you've taken that promise to uphold the ties of kinship, to uphold the relationship of this Muslim Ummah. And thus we find that caring for the weak and the unknown Ummah, many of us, we're quite familiar, and rightfully we are familiar, that the land of Asham, Syria that we find, Philistine, Burma, Afghanistan, Iraq, Somalia, many of us are familiar that the war-torn zones, the hardships, the difficulties, the calamities that people are facing there. But you know, there are some other people that maybe some of us, we have never heard about them. And we don't know that this zulm, this oppression is taking place, and we have no interest, or we're not well versed about it. And thus we find inside the east of China, the Uyghur Muslims that we find, about 10 million population, 2 million of them in detention camps at the moment, which is East Turkestan that we find, 10 million population. The Chinese, the Xinjiang, the new province, they want to wipe out this area. Ethnic cleansing. Nothing like this ever happened since the Holocaust. They want to wipe these people out, to take the land totally over. This is what these people, they want to do. They have placed 2 million Muslims in detention camps, taking children, place them inside orphanages to brainwash them, to remove Islam from them, dismantle the hijab, dismantle the beard. Hatta ismu Muhammad haram alayhim. The name Muhammad is haram for them to keep. This is what these people, this is the new land. Destruction of wiping out 10 million Muslims. Ha'ulai, as-Siniyun, they say that Islam is a concept of depression, mental state, an ill sickness, a virus that needs to be wiped out. This is what's going on at the moment as we speak. That some of us are aloof, we don't know that even these people, that they exist. That there's Muslims like this that exist in the world who are being oppressed. And that's what we find, that we should, as we mentioned, one body, one global ummah that we preach about. You know, it's just preaching about it. That's all it is. You know, we are so fractured amongst ourselves. It's so unbelievable at times. You know, these people, these people are very smart individuals. Because the Quran speaks about that. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. These people know everything about the world.
Obviously, Allah concludes, وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ inside Surah Al-Rum. The end of them, they غَافِلُونَ heedless. But when they live on this world, they know what to do. Study them historically. You find that after World War II, whether you take 70 million or the maximum level of 85 million people that they were destroyed or they were killed inside these wars that you find, perished. 70 to 85 million people. They sat down amongst themselves in these various conventions classified as Geneva Conventions, eventually in 1949, they laid out the treaty how to operate on the face of this earth. Some 196, 97 countries that pay allegiance to this. Maybe it may sound strange that they allowed 85 million people to die, then they awoke. But at least they began to discuss certain things. Their arch enemies that they were towards, they all united upon certain things. The preservation of people, prisoners of warfare, rules, regulations, sanctions, nuclear weapons. Even today's world to speak about the political climate that we live in at the moment, Brexit that we find that we're all facing. You have to give credit to them where it belongs. Whatever the result may be, they are disciplined in what they believe in. Disciplined, they're able to discuss. We can't discuss with another Muslim. That's how shameful we are. That's the fact of us Muslims. We cannot sit with another Muslim and have the decency and the sabr and the patience to speak to another Muslim. هَؤُلَيْ كَفَرَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. They're disbelieving individuals. Don't believe in Allah. Yet they come together for their own interests, for their own purpose, for their own worldly gain, and begin to resolve the issues that they find. You know, we at the moment are 1.7 billion Muslims on the face of this earth. In a population in 2017 of 7.6 billion people. 1.6 or 7 billion Muslims on the face of this earth. 50 Muslim majority countries. 50 Muslim majority countries that you find, even if just to blow, it would have an impact on the world. But what do we find? Oppression takes place day in and day out. We turn a blind eye to it because of world politics, world gain, world benefits. You know, you find that Prophet Islam, he prophesies a hadith in Sunnah Abi Dawood. Go and study this hadith in great detail. تَتَدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأُمَمُ. The nations will gather upon you. Just like you find that people get together to eat from the platter, to eat from the dish. We are the dish at the moment, because why? The dish contains food. We contain richness, wealth, diamonds, gold, jewelry, land, vegetation, oil, produce. Study the historical world, study the world at the moment, the geographical location, why these people engage in our lands. They will come and they'll begin to pounce upon us, that people begin to eat the food. فَقَالَ الصَّحَابَ أَنَحْنُ قَلِيلٌ. Is it going to be because we're small in number on that day? There's going to be a minute number of us, so they're going to be able to overcome us. He said, nay. But indeed, you're going to be many on that day. But you're going to be كَالْغُثَاءِ الْبَحْرِ يُسَيْلِ. You're going to be like the froth of the ocean that has no value. Prophesied by the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Then he went a step further. He said, you're going to be suffering from al-wahan. قِيلَ وَمَا الْوَحَنْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. They said, what is this al-wahan? What is this disease? This infection? This virus we're going to be suffering? قَالَ حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَقَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ أو قَرَاهَةُ الْمَوْتِ أو كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا الْخِطَاب لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. The address isn't the non-Muslims, love of the world. He's addressing this Muslim nation. That's what he's addressing. That you, the Muslims, are going to suffer a love of this world and a hatred for death. And we could see the Muslim world around us. What they strive for, what they build for, what they live for, what they die for. Is it for the Muslim cause? Is it for the Muslim ummah? Or is it their own interest? Their own wealth, their own power, their own life. their own family, their own throne. You know, even you study al-Umara, sultans, you study leaders that existed before. You know, there were many corrupt individuals. Many corrupt individuals who deviated, who were full of corruption and the personal corruption that they had. Al-Araqsim, Hajjaj, that we find slave ulama, slave people. But you know, as a side point, you find they had some moral fiber. They had some moral strength. They had certain principles that they believed in that they never backed down upon inside their life. And they stood up for that. That's historically been proven. But what do we find at the moment? Such an element of weakness that this is a political climate. We need to make ties with such countries. We need to make ties with China because it helps our economy, help our land, help our environment. What ties do we need to make? Ties based upon riba. Even this hadith before, it mentions that if you begin to deal inside usury, interest, it's doubtful iman, indoctrinated inside our mind, even a small scale, even average Muslim. I can't live. Why should I rent a house? I'm going to be despised. I don't fit into society. I need to have the welfare, the wealth that I need. It needs to be generated by the system around us. These are all Western values, indoctrinated right deep down into our bloodstream. 100 years ago, we used to live happily. We used to live a simple life. We used to live a good life. But they've indoctrinated that this is the way forward. This is the way that the world will succeed. That's what they want to indoctrinate amongst us. To think that the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no value. These 50 Muslim countries that we find, how many of them uphold the values of the Quran and the Sunnah? How many of them uphold it? How many of them they live according to it? Aqallu shay. The least that we can say, it is clear zulm. It's not making takfir upon any regime or any Muslim state. The least that ulama have said, the least that you can say that about these Muslim lands, it is clear oppression. They are far away from the Quran. The Quran, it speaks about using the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring justice upon the earth, bring peace upon the earth. The golden era that we all read about. Years of peace, prosperity, richness, goodness. How did it come about? It is via at-tawheed, via belief, via adhering to the Quran. It brings peace, stability upon the land. Those individuals believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it brings. That's the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus we need to go back to our belief as we began with. And with our belief, couple the element of helping the weak individuals around us inside society. To help them to rise. Not rise in a social status. To help their dua rise to Allah.